You're listening to The Oddscast, the original UFC betting podcast that's straight to the point. Hosted by leading MMA oddsmaker Nick Kalikas and MMA journalist Brian Heminger, they provide you the absolute best UFC betting info, picks, statistics, and analysis from the most respected authority in mixed martial arts betting, MMAoddsbreaker.com. Don't place your wagers without us.
Welcome to the Oddscast, presented by BetDSI. I'm Brian Heminger, joined today by leading mixed martial arts oddsmaker Nick Kalikas to break down this Saturday's UFC on ESPN Plus 17 event, which takes place in Mexico City, Mexico. If you're unfamiliar with our format, Nick and I will break down the fight card from top to bottom, providing extensive analysis and a pick for each fight after doing our film study for the event. Looking back at our last event, Kyle Marley's premium bets for UFC on ESPN Plus 16 broke even overall, but he did win 1.48 units on his free bet on Hunter Azure. Kyle has his bets and fantasy MMA picks available now on MMAoddsbreaker.com. Back to the present, UFC on ESPN Plus features a 12-fight card in total and will be aired exclusively on ESPN Plus this Saturday night. Let's dive right in. Now, kicking things off, on the preliminary card is a lightweight contest between Claudio Puelles, who is 8-2, and Marcos Mariano, who is 6-5. Now, Nick, where did this fight open, and how has the public shifted things so far?
All right, a quick little disclaimer here before we get started. Of course, always head over to betdsi.eu and show those guys support. Those are the odds I'm going to quote here in a few minutes. So that's our sponsored sportsbook. So shout out to betdsi.eu. And as always, head over to MMAoddsbreaker.com and check out our premium picks tab and give Kyle Marley a shot. Big Marley 3, man, the guy's been killing it. He's up over 270 units in the last 16 months. I mean, it's documented. He's one of the best out there, no doubt about it. The guy delivers each and every card. So make sure you head over to our premium picks tab and check out our premium picks plays that are available right now, including DraftKings selections as well. So Kyle has it all for you right there at our premium picks tab. Now, getting right into it, this is going to be a quicker podcast. I mean, it was either this doing a quick cast this time for this event or not doing it at all. And honestly, we don't want to let you guys down. So I was doing some traveling, to be honest with you guys, and it kind of delayed my week a little bit. It kind of jumbled things up. And also we had some audio issues earlier as well. So that delayed us even more. So between the two, it's going to be a quick cast. So my apologies for that, but we'll get right into it. And I still think that we'll give you guys what you need out here. So getting into Puelles and Mariano right away, Puelles open minus 215. The comeback on Mariano is at plus 165. And right now, looking over at BetDSI, we are seeing Puelles up to minus 312. The comeback on Mariano is at plus 248. So line margins have tightened up. More action coming in Puelles' way. Not really that surprised. There's a lot of parlays hitting his way as well. And it basically comes down to this. I mean, Puelles' ground game versus Mariano's striking game. I mean, if Mariano is able to keep this fight upright, he can have some success against Puelles on the feet and probably win this fight. If not, Puelles gets the takedown and ends up finishing Mariano on the ground. So everybody is pretty confident. Puelles had a nice come from behind win in his last fight. His ground game was on display. He's the more well-rounded fighter for sure. He should be a solid favorite in this fight. But he definitely needs to get this fight to the ground. As far as value goes, I think all the value has been kind of taken away at this point. If you do have a book out there that offers some props on the prelims, and maybe take Puelles by sub. But my pick is going to be Puelles. He probably does get it done by submission. As far as the betting line goes, stay away from it at this point. It's dog or pass.
Yeah, this one's pretty straightforward. I mean, Mariano, he's a guy that's all action, ended up getting beat by Lando Venetta in his UFC debut. And Puelles, on the other hand, though, this is a guy that I think has a very good ground game, and a really impressive comeback knee bar in his UFC debut. Granted, he has not fought in a while, but if, Puelles can get Mariano to the ground. I mean, Mariano lost by Kimura in that UFC debut. So I think Puelles, having the superior ground game, all he has to do is drag Mariano to the ground and he should win relatively handily. So I think Puelles wins by submission, probably in the first round. Now, moving up to the women's bantamweight division, we have Cesara Eubanks, who is 4-3, taking on Betch Kohea, who is 10-4-1. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
Eubanks open minus 230. The comeback on Kohea plus 170. And right now over at BetDSI, we are seeing Eubanks at minus 286. The comeback on Kohea plus 231. So line margins have tightened up. More action coming in Eubanks' way. Not really that surprised. I mean, Kohea at the betting window again and amongst the MMA hardcore fans, not really that popular. Although she's faced some good competition, and I do have respect for Coheo as a fighter, man. I tell you what, she's been in there with great competitors, and she's actually outperformed many expectations usually. So she comes to fight, and she's game. And this fight is going to be a lot more competitive than probably people think. I am going to pick Eubanks, though. I think she's on the rise, obviously. I think your striking's improved enough to hang with Coheo on the feet, actually outpoint her and maybe do more damage along the way. But it's a wrestling also that she has in her back pocket that could get her the W here overall. So she's going to be able to at least outpoint Coheo and get the W here. If not, I think she could maybe even finish Coheo. So my pick is Eubanks, but as this line climbs, stay away from it because Coheo is always game.
And she is always game. I think she's so game that she has a pretty good chance to win this fight. Eubanks is pretty athletic, and she does have good wrestling and a strong ground game. But I think her biggest advantage is, and when she looked the best, was when she was just an oversized bantamweight fighting at flyweight and missing weight repeatedly and just overpowering flyweights. She really did not look good in her move up to bantamweight. And I think taking on somebody like Coheo, who's pretty big and physical, I think that she will have a little bit of trouble pushing her around and being able to bully her like she did all the flyweights. So Coheo, I think, is going to be the better striker. I think that she'll throw with more volume. I think Coheo hits a little harder. Obviously, if Eubanks can drag her to the ground, she'll win. But I think Coheo can keep it upright long enough to do some damage on the feet and potentially win 2 out of 3 rounds. So I'm going to go with the underdog here and pick Betch Coheo. Now, moving up to the light heavyweight division, we have Vinicius Moheya, who is 9-3, taking on Paul Craig, who is 11-4. Now, Nick, where did this fight open, and how has the public shifted things so far?
Moheya opened as the underdog at plus 120. So Craig opened as a favorite minus 160. And I'm saying it like that because as we speak right now, it is Moheya as the favorite minus 114. Craig is the underdog and minus 105 at BetDSI. So line flipped a little bit. There is 2-way action coming into this fight as well. Obviously, this is a pretty clear fight to me. Both of these guys have their flaws, especially on the feet. They're both a little shaky. They're both chinny. It comes down to their ground games. And I think Moheya has the better ground game. I think he has the better ground defense as well. So I think basically this hits the floor. If Moheya's chin holds up, he's going to get the submission win or he's going to win this fight on the ground. So to keep it short and simple, I mean, it's hard to trust either one of these guys, you know, with anything major as far as betting action goes, but I understand why the action came into Moheya and I'm going to side with him as well. I think he does probably beat Craig and it's on the ground that he does so. So my pick is Moheya to win.
Both of these guys are chinny. Both of these guys have pretty strong ground games for the light heavyweight division. Craig is actually a decent striker. He just can't take a shot. So his problem is, he holds his own for a little bit, but then the second he gets hit hard, he gets in trouble. Moheya, on the other hand, is just brutal on the feet. He's just horrific. Probably the worst striker in the entire UFC light heavyweight division. So if Craig keeps this upright, he wins. That being said, Craig is way too willing to go to the ground, and he's way too willing to fall to his back because he's aggressively looking for like arm bars and triangle chokes, and he has won several fights that way. He's not going to be able to find that success against Moheya. Moheya is just way better on the ground. I think he's better than Craig on the ground, and if this fight does go to the ground, I think Moheya is going to win probably by submission. Craig can beat him on the feet, but I just think that he's not going to be able to resist going to the ground, even pulling guard or doing something stupid to bring it to the ground and put himself on his back. So if it stays upright, Craig wins, but I don't think it does. I think 2 ground fighters in this fight, it goes to the ground, and Moreira's the better ground fighter. So I'm going to side with Moheya. Now dropping all the way down to the flyweight division, we have Sergio Pettis, who is 17-5, taking on Tyson Nam, who is 16-9-1. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
Pettis, minus 265, Nam, plus 185. That was the opener, and right now what we're seeing over at BetDSI is currently Pettis minus 370, the comeback on Nam, at plus 287. So more action coming in Pettis' way. A lot of people have more confidence in Pettis, and I understand. I mean, Nam's been around for a long time. I'm glad he's finally getting the opportunity in the UFC. He deserves it. I mean, he's been one of these guys that's been working so hard and been around this sport, accomplished a lot of great things in his career thus far, but has had his ups and downs for sure. With that said, he belongs on the roster. He belongs to get this opportunity, and he's going to be a dangerous fight for Pettis because Nam definitely has some skill, especially on the feet. He's got that dangerous knockout power with his kicks or his punches. So Pettis has to be careful. We've seen Pettis get clipped in the past as well. So this is not necessarily an easy fight for Pettis, but it's a fight Pettis can win, and I think he will do because he is just a level above Nam at this point of his career. I mean, unfortunately for Nam, it's just a difficult matchup for him. I think Pettis is basically better everywhere the fight takes place. Pettis can do some damage even on the feet with Nam. He's the better, I think, more precise striker overall. And obviously, I think Pettis has a better ground game as a whole. So it's going to be an uphill battle for Nam. He's going to need to finish this fight to win. I don't think he gets it done. So my pick is Pettis. But where the line is right now, again, the value's gone. I mean, you guys came in at minus 265. You got a good number. I would not lay close to 4-1. So stay away from it now.
Yeah, Tyson Nam was like a feel-good story going into Brazil and knocking out Eduardo Dantas and back in like, what, 2012 or something? I mean, it's been a while. But after that, I mean, he just had a brutal stretch where, World Series of Fighting did not go well for him. Granted, he faced Marlon Moraes at his debut and got knocked out, ended up losing like 4 in a row, but he's made a really nice little comeback. I think in his last 8 fights, he's 6-1-1, and that includes a knockout win over a former UFC standout flyweight, Ali Bagautinov. So, really impressive run here from Nam to get back to relevance and to be able to take this fight on short notice, when Alex Perez dropped out. That being said, Sergio Pettis is better than him everywhere. Pettis is the better striker. He's better on the ground. He's better wrestling. He's better submissions. The only thing Nam has is I think Nam has a little bit more power. And they both are a little chinny, and Pettis obviously can be knocked out. We've seen him get hurt really badly at times. So Nam has a puncher's chance, but that's it. If this fight goes to decision, I don't see how Nam wins. If it gets a submission of any sort, I don't see Nam getting that unless he knocks out or practically knocks out Pettis and then jumps on a submission. So for me, if Nam is not knocking Sergio Pettis out, he's going to lose. So, and I just think it's going to be a little bit too much here. So it can happen. Nam has connected against Dantas. He connected against Bagautinov, but every other time he's faced somebody that was pretty legit, like like Moraes, like there was another guy out of Hawaii that he had some trouble with. That was a UFC vet. So I just don't think he gets the job done. So Sergio Pettis is my pick. Now dropping down to the strawweight division, we have Angela Hill, who is 9-7. Taking on Ariane Carnelossi, who is 12-1. Now, Nick, where did this fight open, and how has the public shifted things so far?
Carnelossi opened minus 150, the comeback on Hill at plus 110. And right now, looking over at BetDSI, we are seeing Hill minus 154, the comeback on Carnelossi at plus 128. So needless to say, action flipped. Hill became the favorite. Hill, obviously the more popular fighter, the more experienced fighter in the UFC. She's faced a lot of good competition. Carnelossi coming in here as the debuting fighter, obviously, with not as much experience. But I'll tell you what, her resume is pretty impressive pre-UFC. She's a very solid fighter. She has very good striking, powerful hands, pushes a high pace, good leg kicks, body kicks. But she does have kind of little T-Rex arms, a lot of power to go with it. You know, I'm not trying to, you know, make fun or whatnot, but she has those shorter arms, and that's going to be a little bit of a problem here against Hill. Hill is a precise striker. She'll use that reach advantage well, and I think she'll outpoint Carnelossi as the fight goes. But Carnelossi's going to make this a tough fight. She's going to be in Hill's face trying to close that gap and hit with power. So this is going to be a split decision type of fight. No, make no mistake about it. I just have to side a little bit more towards Hill because I think that experience and against the level of competition, she's going to be a little bit more comfortable in the octagon. Everything kind of points to her slightly getting it done. So that's the way I'm going to lean, but not a confident play. I wouldn't be surprised if Carnelossi comes out here and performs better than I'm thinking here. This is a really good spot for her to come in and steal Hill's thunder overall and make herself relevant in the UFC. So awesome fight. I'm going to slightly lean towards Hill.
And I'm with Nick here. I mean, Carnelossi is very talented. You know, she had some success in Brazil. She won a one-night tournament last year. You know, this is a girl that definitely has some talent, and she has some knockout power. But Hill's going to be bigger, longer, stronger. I think Hill has just as much power. I think Hill is the more technical striker. I think, you know, this is just going to be a really, I think it'll be competitive, but I think with Hill's experience, she's been in there against some of the best fighters in the world. And, she's held her own. I mean, obviously, the elite strikers are able to defeat Hill, but I don't think that Carnalossi is elite. She's talented. She has some pop, but unless she really cracks Hill and hurts her, I think Hill just outpoints her over the course of three rounds. So I think, this is Angela Hill's fight to lose, and I think, she takes it. So Hill's going to be my pick as well. Now, moving up to the featherweight division, we have Marco Polo Reyes, who is 8-6, taking on Kyle Nelson, who is 12-3. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
Nelson -120, Reyes -20. That was the opening line. And right now we're looking at Nelson -123, the comeback on Reyes at +103. So line markers have tightened up. Nelson remaining a very, very slight favorite. This is a tough fight as well, because this should be action-packed while it lasts. I'm saying that because I obviously don't expect it to go very far. Reyes has that knockout power. I mean, he has that killer instinct, and the guy's a threat for sure. He's dropping down a division to try to kind of get back on track a little bit. Both these guys desperately need a win, especially Nelson, I think. I mean, he's yet to see a victory in the UFC, but I think he gets it here against Reyes. I think this is a good spot for him here. I think Nelson is honestly the more complete fighter overall. He can knock Reyes out on the feet. He can beat him on the ground as well. So Reyes kind of has one path to victory, in my opinion, and that's knocking Nelson out, which is possible, but I like Nelson's chances more so than not. He's the better, more complete fighter, so I do think he gets that first W in the UFC. So my pick is Nelson, and a pick and price. I think there is a little bit of value there.
Yeah, Reyes was a guy that I was high on at one point, but it just seems like durability has caught up to him. He's coming off of two consecutive knockout losses to Hadzovic and Dober, and that was at lightweight, and now he's dropping down a weight class, so he's dehydrating his brain even more with the weight cut. I think that's going to make him even easier to knock out, potentially. Nelson, on the other hand, you know, this guy has some pop. He had Carlos Diego Ferreira in some trouble when he made his UFC debut against him. And then in that last fight, he was competitive against, Matt Sales, had him in some trouble, spending some time on his back. So, you know, this is a guy that has had some very good moments, some highs in his fights. He just hasn't been able to get the win. So they're both 0-2 in their last two fights. Nelson has not had a win in the UFC yet, but I do think that this is his time. Nelson on the feet, even though he's not as technically sound as Reyes, I think he's got enough power to hurt him and potentially finish him like he has been knocked out in his last two fights. And on the ground, Nelson's the better ground fighter. So if it goes to the ground, I think Nelson can take his back, potentially submit him, or also potentially ride out a decision with a superior ground advantage. So my pick's going to be Nelson. Unless this fight stays standing and Reyes works from the outside, I don't see Reyes getting the win. So Nelson is going to be my pick. Now, closing out the preliminary card, we have a bantamweight contest between Jose Quinones, who is 7-3, and Carlos Huachin, who is 10-4-2. Now, Nick, where did this fight open, and how has the public shifted things so far?
Quinones opened -245, the comeback on Watchin at +175. Line dropped. Right now it's Quinones -143, the comeback on Watchin at +119 at BetDSI. So actually coming in Watchin's way, I tell you what, again, take my hat off to you guys, early bettors out there, because Huachin, having the resume that he has, you know, losing his UFC debut, Quinones is a little bit more experienced fighter. The value was still on the dog. So you guys saw through all the little hype or whatever you want to call around this hype, this fight. And I think you guys got the value there on the right side, at least, because this is going to be a tough fight for Quinones, even though he is a more experienced fighter. And I think that is going to play a role in here. And I do trust Quinones in that regard a little bit more. He's faced better competition throughout his career. Obviously he's been more battle tested. He can go into deeper waters longer, and I could trust him there. But Huachin is the better striker on the feet. He's shown some decent takedown defense. I know he got in trouble in his last fight. He got clipped and taken down. And then that's kind of what, ended up, being his downfall. But I think this is a different type of fight, obviously, in this spot. I know Quinones, if he's smart, he's going to want to try to get this fight to the floor and utilize his ground game, because I think Huachin on the feet is able to beat him and beat him up and maybe do enough damage to get this W here. So for me, honestly, I've been going back and forth. This is a pick'em type of fight for me, because I think Huachin, even though he doesn't have that experience, I really think that he showed enough in his debut that he could carry that over, and he's going to be the type of fighter that keeps on improving a little bit faster, and he absorbs just everything that with the training and everything, he's going to show up and look better fight by fight, more so than Quinones, I think. So I expect him to look better than he did last time, to be a little bit more game and give Quinones all sorts of problems. So with that said, I guess I still have to slightly lean towards Quinones as far as a pure pick because of that experience factor. And again, he's been more battle tested. So as the fight progresses, I think he can probably get it done, but not a confident pick. So for me, it's a dog or pass situation, but my pure pick, I guess, would be Quinones.
Obviously, Huachin is a talented guy. He's got some power. He can definitely get a knockout potentially, but I think the biggest difference in this fight is Quinones is a little bit more well-rounded. You know, he's not the greatest wrestler or anything, but he has a decent ground game. And while obviously it didn't look so great against Nathaniel Wood, I think that's more how good Wood is. But Quinones, if he can get top position against Huachin, I think that he can repeat what Rayony Barcelos did against Huachin, getting top position, beating him up on the canvas, potentially getting even a ground and pound TKO victory. But on the feet, Huachin, I think, is the more explosive striker. I think he's got a little bit more power. So if this fight stays standing, I would favor Huachin. But if it goes to the ground, and I do think it goes to the ground, as long as, you know, these guys are able to get a hold of each other, I think Quinones can drag him there. Huachin's takedown defense isn't that good. And if Quinones does get top position, I think he can drop some bombs. And I can see him riding out top position. I can see him potentially going for submissions. But I can definitely see him using those long limbs of his to drop some punches. And I think that that will help him get over the top here. And I think Quinones walks away as the victor. So Quinones is going to be my pick. Now moving on to the main card, we have a featherweight contest between Martin Bravo, who is 11-2, and Steven Peterson, who is 17-9. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
This fight opened exactly a pick on -120 either way. Bravo, Peterson, -120. Right now what we're seeing over at BetDSI is currently -122. Bravo, Peterson, and +102. So line was appropriately set and holding steady right there at about a pick'em. And it is a pick'em type of fight, especially with the state of MMA judging. This is going to be back and forth. I lean slightly towards Bravo. I think he's going to probably be doing more damage, maybe busting open Peterson a little bit more. And I think that'll sway the judges along the way. And of course, in Bravo's backyard, and poor Peterson, man, when it goes to the scorecards, he's a warrior. I love the guy, but he just gets the wrong end of a lot of decisions in close competitive fights as well. So I think Peterson can win this fight, and he might actually pull this fight off, but it's another one of these toss-up situations for me, and I'm going to go with a hometown fighter in Bravo because I think that he might edge it out, but not a confident one. And if you guys are betting this one, be careful, man, because this fight realistically could go either way.
Yeah, you know, this is a battle of two guys that have had some tough, close losses. Bravo really stepped up against Alex Caceres in his last fight, lost a close split decision against a talented fighter. And then Peterson faced Alex Caceres as well, ended up losing a decision. I thought Peterson would have performed better. I thought he was going to be more aggressive. I thought he was going to throw with more volume, and it just didn't happen. Bravo, on the other hand, you know, this is a guy that has had some impressive performances. You know, he looked good against Claudio Puelles when he won by second round stoppage. But then he got knocked out really quickly against Bendinet in a fight that I think they were hoping to build him up, and he, you know, just did not show up. But I think we saw a little bit more of what he was capable of the last time out. And now it's been about a year since he's competed. Peterson, obviously, he's been fighting a lot more often. Peterson's fought twice already this year. He's fought basically three times since Bravo fought. But with that being said, I think overall Bravo is at least as talented as Peterson. And I think with the hometown support, I think this is an opportunity for Bravo to get back on track. Both of these guys are very similar fighters. They have similar skill sets. They both fight, throw a similar amount of volume. They both have a little bit of pop. They both can take shots. I think with how close it is, I'm going to favor the hometown guy who's the younger fighter as well. So I'm going to side with Martin Bravo. I think that he has a little bit more room for growth, and I don't really think that Peterson is going to get any better at this point. So Bravo is going to be my pick. Now, dropping down to the women's bantamweight division, we have Irene Aldana, who is 10-5, taking on Vanessa Mello, who was also 10-5. Now, Nick, where did this fight open, and how has the public shifted things so far?
Aldana opened -475, the comeback on Mello at +325. Right now, what we're seeing over at BetDSI is Aldana -588, the comeback on Mello at +427. As crazy as it sounds, it's right, too. I mean, the action on Aldana early on. I mean, I don't think Mello's a bad fighter, but, I mean, she's just outclassed here. She's going to be up a division, making her UFC debut. It's not going to be an easy one against Aldana. And I just think stylistically it's a tough matchup because Mello likes to strike, and Aldana's going to be the longer, bigger striker. She's going to be a little bit more powerful. She's going to outpoint her. She could do a little bit more damage as well. So with all that said, again, I mean, if you check Mello out, there's, I mean, even just look at her last fight. She fought Jan Finney. It was a pretty good fight, competitive fight, but Finney actually beat her, but Mello ended up getting the nod on the scorecards. So at this level, she's got to be able to beat a fighter like Jan Finney, in my opinion, clearly, to compete with a girl like Aldana. Again, you can't do MMA math, so throw that out the window. But still, I'm just talking about there's levels to it, and she's just not on Aldana's level at this point. So the pick is Aldana to win. Obviously, you know what? I mean, there's still probably parlay material at some points because I'd be surprised if Aldana loses this fight.
And I'm right with you. I'm really just not that impressed with Mello. I think overall, she's just not that good of a fighter. Last five fights she's won have all been decisions. I mean, really the only good win in her career was Molly McCann, and that was McCann's second fight of her professional career, and it was out of her weight class, and it was 4 years ago. I think if they rematched, even though McCann has fought at strawweight, I think McCann would mop the floor with her today. I did not think Mello looked very good in her last fight, and Aldana actually did. You know, she her stand-up has always been pretty strong offensively. Defensively, she's always been flawed, but I think she surprised some people with some improved ground game in that last fight, tapping out Kohea after the stand-up was relatively even back and forth. So I think Aldana outpoints Mello on the feet. I think she could potentially knock her out. And if it does go to the ground, Aldana's got a few tricks up her sleeve. So, Aldana should take this one relatively easily. So Aldana's going to be my pick. Now, dropping down to the flyweight division, we have Askar Askarov, who is 10-0, taking on Brandon Moreno, who is 15-5. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
Askarov opened -175, the comeback on Moreno +135. What we're seeing right now over at BetDSI is Askarov -161, the comeback on Moreno at +136. So line margins have tightened up a little bit, decent line set, and is holding steady. I mean, Askarov is the hyped prospect coming into the UFC, making his debut, the ACB lightweight champion. Guy's never been to a decision. He's undefeated. I mean, the guy's a finisher. The guy is phenomenal. He's such a fun fighter to watch, man. This fight is not going to disappoint. I mean, what a matchup this is. Hats off to the UFC for this fight because Moreno is also game. He's involved usually in some fun fights. He's a finisher in his own right. He's going to have some length in this spot. And again, with his unorthodox but effective striking and then his choking ability on the ground, you know, you get caught up into one of his chokes, you can't get out. So this is a dangerous fight for both guys, but I lean slightly more towards Askarov. I just think he's going to be the better wrestler in this spot. I think he's going to be the faster striker. He's just going to be able to outpoint and then do a little bit more damage along the way and probably even maybe get a finish over Moreno. I know Moreno's hard to finish. So this is going to be, again, Askarov's toughest test to date. But if anybody get it done, I mean, Moreno has shown some vulnerability on the ground at times. And Askarov, from what we've seen, man, I wouldn't be surprised if he is the one to finish Moreno. So that said, Askarov is my pick. And if the line keeps dropping, then there's going to be some value that opens up on Askarov as well.
You know, Moreno's a guy that I've always been impressed with, dating back to his performance on The Ultimate Fighter when he almost pulled off a huge upset. And then his time in the UFC was really impressive. I mean, he gets stoppages over Smolka and Dustin Ortiz. And then he has a couple tough losses in a row and they let him go, but then he goes and wins the LFA championship in his return fight. So they bring him right back, and perfect timing, you know, a talented Mexican fighter fighting in Mexico. But man, does he have a tough opponent ahead of him. Askarov kind of has the skill set to defeat Moreno because Moreno's so unorthodox on the feet. He's long. He's powerful. He's really tough to get a beat on because there's just not a lot of fighters. He has that very funky striking style. So he can come at you with some really unique angles. And Askarov on the feet, I think, could get himself in some trouble because Moreno does have a lot of power. His head kicks are dangerous. So this is a guy that could hurt Askarov on the feet. But where Moreno gets himself in trouble is, I think, while he does have some decent submissions offensively, if he gets put in defensive positions on the ground, he is not nearly as good. You saw that against Pantoja. And I think you're going to see it against Askarov. Askarov is a mammoth on the ground. I mean, this guy has excellent wrestling. He has tremendous submission ability. He's even pulled off a twister in an MMA fight, which you very rarely see. So, you know, this guy, if he can get Moreno on the ground, I think it's only a matter of time until he not only is in a dominant position, but before he's pulling off some sort of submission. And this guy can do it all in terms of submissions. I mean, if you look through his track record, it's not just, you know, a guy that only gets guillotines or a guy that only gets rear naked chokes. I mean, he gets twisters, anacondas, rear naked chokes, guillotine chokes. I mean, you name it, I think he can pull it off. So if this goes to the ground, I think Moreno's in huge, huge trouble, and I think it does go to the ground. So Askarov's going to be my pick. Now, moving on to the co-main event of the evening in the strawweight division, we have Carla Esparza, who is 14-6, taking on Alexa Grasso, who is 11-2. Now, Nick, where did this fight open, and how has the public shifted things so far?
Grasso minus 135, Esparza minus 105 with the opening line. Right now over at BetDSI, Grasso minus 137. The comeback on Esparza plus 114. Line margins have tightened up a little bit. There's two-way action coming in this fight, but more so on Grasso. Not really that surprised. I mean, again, the upside of this fight is definitely more towards Grasso. I mean, Esparza's been the champ before. She got her title taken, as we all know. She's beaten a lot of relevant fighters. She's always been one of the best in the weight class. There's no doubt about it. 115 pounds, Esparza's just so good. And she continues to show and stay relevant. So that's, you got to take your hat off to her for that. But Grasso, again, is the more popular upside type of fighter here in this spot because she gets a win over Esparza. She's on her way to a title shot potentially as well. So I get the matchmaking here. I mean, it's a very good opportunity for Grasso to pick off another great opponent here in Esparza. But I just don't think it's going to happen. I think it's going to be a close competitive decision for sure. So on the scorecards, we could see Grasso win the decision, especially being in her backyard. But I don't think it's going to be the right decision if that's the case. I think Esparza is going to do enough to get some takedowns, mix things up a little bit. She'll hang with Grasso even on the feet a little bit, but it's going to be her ground game that gets it done. So I confidently pick Esparza to win a close competitive decision fight. I'm just not so sure the judges are going to feel that way as well. So that's my concern more than anything else. But to me, the wrong person's favorite here. I think Esparza should be a slight favorite. I'm going to pick her to win.
And I'm going to side with Esparza as well. You know, I used to really pick on her about her striking, but she's made some serious improvements. I mean, not that she could go out and become a kickboxing world champion or anything, but Carla Esparza has been competitive on the feet against some pretty decent fighters now. You know, she's actually gone in there and, you know, she hurt Claudia Gadelha on the feet. So, you know, this is a girl that I think has clearly worked on her weaknesses. Her wrestling has always been a strength, so hopefully she hasn't really allowed that to deteriorate because the blueprint is there. I mean, Tatiana Suarez steamrolled Alexa Grasso, just obliterated her. So if Carla Esparza can drag Grasso to the ground and secure top position and just go to work on her, she should easily win a decision here. That being said, Esparza is not nearly the explosive, powerful wrestler that Suarez is. But Suarez is, you know, pretty one-dimensional. So Esparza has been working on the rest of her game. So hopefully she's still got the wrestling because that is the key here. Grasso is strong enough on the feet that I think she would win a decision if it stayed there. But I think Esparza can hold her own there long enough to maybe let Grasso let her guard down. And the second that happens, Esparza does need to pounce. Esparza, when she does get top position, she can be pretty heavy there. You saw that against Rose when Esparza was able to wear her down and then eventually get a stoppage victory to become the UFC strawweight champion, the first one ever. So Esparza, you know, she's not going away. She's going out there, and she's beat some pretty tough fighters recently. And she's been in there against some really tough fighters. I thought she looked great against Jandaroba. And she's had some really strong victories over girls like Calvillo and Moroz and Juliana Lima. So, you know, this is definitely a talented fighter. And I think that, this is a matchup where, as far as his wrestling, is going to be key. And I think that she does get the takedowns. I think she gets the win. So Carla Esparza is going to be my pick. Now, moving on to the main event of the evening in the featherweight division, we have Yair Rodriguez, who is 11-2, taking on Jeremy Stevens, who is 28-16. Now, Nick, what's the MMA oddsmaker's perspective on this one?
Rodriguez opened up minus 165, the comeback on Stevens at plus 125. And right now, looking over at BetDSI, we have Rodriguez minus 109, Stevens minus 110. So basically a pick'em fight, 19-cent line instead of 20. But that said, pick'em fight. When I first looked at it and all the action was coming in a little bit more towards Stevens, I understood it. I thought, yeah, of course you're going to bet Stevens in this matchup. This is a tough fight for Rodriguez. I mean, and it really is, obviously, with Stevens, you know, obviously all that experience, he's faced the better competition throughout his career, and he's got that fight-ending knockout power that he could just deliver punishment at any time. And even if he's losing a fight, he can come back and win with that power. So we've seen it time and time again. Stevens is such a game fighter, such a dangerous test for anybody that's trying to work towards a title shot. But after research, honestly, I swayed myself towards Rodriguez. I think Rodriguez is by far the better fighter. He's more technically sound. I think it shows what he can do on the feet with his angles and his footwork, and also his ability to mix in the kicks as he does, I think is going to present a lot of problems to Stevens. So I really think that Yair is going to be able to pick Stevens apart on the feet, do some damage, maybe even possibly get a knockout. I know Stevens is the more powerful puncher, but Rodriguez, his precision and his ability on the feet can definitely do some damage, and I wouldn't be surprised if Rodriguez is able to finish it there. Obviously on the ground, there's more of a submission threat is Rodriguez, but I don't think it's going to matter too much. I think if this does hit the ground, Stevens is actually going to be more of a threat. And if he's smart, he would actually utilize his wrestling advantage in this fight, because I think he does have one, and get Rodriguez on his back and try to do some ground and pound and maybe even sway some rounds that way. Because I think that's the path to victory for Stevens. Get this fight to the ground, not just the knockout power that he has, but maybe try to exploit some wrestling and some ground and pound, and maybe end it with ground and pound on the ground as well. So he does have a path to victory. He's definitely capable of winning this fight in both ways, standing or on the ground, but I really think that Rodriguez is going to be able to defensively sustain anything Stevens throws at him, and with that said, he's going to be able to outpoint and at least get the decision, if not maybe even finish Stevens. He's the better fighter at this point. He's on the rise. I think he's putting in the work. I've been nothing but impressed with his improvement, and I think he's going to continue to show here. So the pick for me is Rodriguez, and at pick 'em price, there's value on Rodriguez as well for me.
I mean, it's pretty obvious. Rodriguez is the more dynamic striker. He's definitely somebody that's going to be throwing way more unorthodox things, spinning attacks, jumping scissor kicks, you name it. Yair Rodriguez is capable of it. I mean, that knockout against the Korean Zombie in the final second is one of the greatest, most fluid and craziest knockouts I've ever seen in the history of the sport. It just, he thinks to do things that no one else can do. So his creativity is definitely going to be an important factor here in him getting the win. That being said, you know, Jeremy Stevens can play spoiler. I mean, this guy has been in there against some great fighters throughout the course of his career, and he's played spoiler against quite a few of them. I mean, you look, Stevens facing, you know, the Korean Superboy, Do Ho Choi, got in a slugfest, ended up knocking him out. You know, he's played spoiler against guys, you know, like Honey Jason early in his career, knocks him out with the head kick, ends up having a fight of the year candidate against Dennis Bermudez, knocks him out. You know, this is a guy that can, take care of business, against some really talented fighters. And, he's been in there against some of the best in the world. I mean, you name it, at the featherweight division, he's pretty much faced them. So, he is on a 2-fight losing streak, so that is a bit of a cause for concern. But, I mean, you look at the guys he lost to, Jose Aldo, Zabit Magomed Shapira, those are two of the best flyweights in the world right now. So, you know, you can't really hold that against him either. Stevens should be in great shape. He's still just 33 years old, despite having fought, 44 times professionally. So, you know, this is a guy with a lot of experience, but, that being said, you know, he's definitely more of a boxing focus. He does have some head kicks, as well, but, I don't see him, really utilizing the ground particularly well here. So if he's going to beat Yair, he's going to have to put a lot of pressure on him. He's going to need to move forward. He's going to have to force Yair to fight off his back foot. But Yair can do that. Even if he is moving backwards and on his bicycle, he can still wing some crazy strikes. So this should be a very entertaining fight. Stevens has always been really entertaining when forced to get into slugfests. And I think it would be bad for strategy if Rodriguez decides to just brawl it out with him, because Yair's biggest advantage is the fact that he can mix it up so well with all the different crazy attacks that he can do. And he needs a little bit of space. So if Stevens can push forward, he can make this really interesting. But if he decides to back off and let Yair go to work, I think he could get himself in some serious trouble. So this should be a really fun fight. But I'm going to lean Yair Rodriguez. I think that his unorthodox attacks really put him over the top here. And I think at some point he connects with something really nasty. And I think Stevens might get himself in some trouble and get finished. So my pick is going to be Yair Rodriguez. I think he sends the Mexican crowd home happy. So that'll do it for a full event breakdown for UFC on ESPN Plus 17. If we have a free play to give out, make sure to follow at MMAOB Premium on Twitter, because that's where we'll post them first. We can also notify you of our free bets via email alert if you prefer that method. Just send an email to picks@MMAoddsbreaker.com and we'll add you to our free bet mailing list. Special thanks to BetDSI. Good luck, everyone, and hopefully the betting gods are on your side this weekend.